Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's gathered here. Thank you, Father, for those that have gathered to watch us on Facebook, YouTube, or whatever method that they are watching us. And Father, I pray that everyone have ears to hear, dear Lord, and a heart to receive your word, because it's your word that's it's our daily bread. It is our daily bread. Hallelujah. And so, Father, I pray that they will have open ears to hear and with an open heart to receive your word. And Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise for the results of your word this morning. Those that are born again, those that are healed, those that have their needs met, those that need a touch from you in other areas. Father God, we ask you to move. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this honor and privilege that I have to minister your word. And I rest in the anointing and the call that you have given me to do just that. And we're going to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, shout, give God a hearty amen. All right. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. I don't know how far I'm going to get this morning, but I want to minister to you on a tremendous subject. A tremendous subject. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read from Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how that's written. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, Deacon Rudy, excuse me, about to chew up your name, brother. Deacon Rudy mentioned this as he was greeting you earlier. Look at verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I just want to reemphasize that before we move on. We were chosen matter of fact, I believe we were chosen before anything else existed, before the foundations of the world. Amen. We were chosen. Now, think about that just for a moment before we move on. Doesn't matter what you think of yourself, God chose you. You have been chosen. The very fact that you were born into this earth is living proof that you were chosen. Hallelujah. And we were chosen before the foundation of the world. God is good, isn't he? God is so good. God is awesome. And I bring that before you from time to time, so I don't want you to forget. You know, we're living in a time now, you know, where folks are knocking themselves off like crazy. Can you believe that? I mean, committing suicide. Now, I know some of it has to do with what they're taking or what they're putting in their bodies, and it's just messing up their minds. But for others, it's just simple depression. Something didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. The person that they loved with all their heart left them for somebody else. And so they feel like their world has just fallen apart. I'm going to tell you something. If you're still breathing, your world has not fallen apart. If you're still breathing, God is still the answer. Amen. God is still the answer. You know, the Bible tells us beforehand what Judas was going to do. You know, Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. And the Bible foretold what he would do. But can I tell you something? It was prophesied that he would commit suicide. But I want you to understand something. God didn't make him do it. God just told us what he was going to do, but Judas made up his own mind. Do you think Jesus died for everyone else but Judas? Think about that for a moment. We're going to move on, but I'm going to give you something to think about. Jesus chose him. Jesus chose him to be one of the 12. Jesus chose him to be one of the 12. Judas chose to live the life that he lived. He was a thief, and you know, we won't get into all that. That's not my message, but my point is, even Judas that betrayed our Lord had a purpose, and that purpose was not to betray Jesus. But God, foreknowing what he would do, told us about it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So I want to read verse 4 again, then we're going to move right along. Just as he chose us, say that's me. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So that means every one of us is supposed to get saved, get born again, live for God. That's the will of God. That the will of God is for the entire world. The will of God is for every person that is born on this earth. God's will for that person is to be born again. That's God's, you hear me? That's God's will. But again, the scriptures already foretold that not all would receive him. But just because the Bible foretold it doesn't mean that these folk were locked in to that decision. No, they made up their own minds. One day I made up my mind that I was going to get born again. Amen? And when I made up my mind that I was going to receive Jesus Christ, I was going to give my life to Jesus, there was no devil anywhere big enough to stop me. If he could have, he would have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you want to term it this way, their ministry or their function. And I want to begin with God the Father. We see in Scripture that God the Father is the originator. He is the originator. Let's look at some scriptures. Turn to the second chapter of Luke. Everything began with God the Father. Luke chapter 2. And let's see what Jesus had to say about his Father. Now, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, in Luke chapter 2, remember I told you, God is the originator. He is the originator, all right? I think I'll begin reading at verse 41. Now, this is Jesus as a boy, okay? And it says in verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Now, you know, mama was upset. Okay, mama probably was worried. Okay. "Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Now, was Jesus a naughty boy? No. No, he never sinned. But now listen to his response. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me?" Now, let me stop right there for a moment. They hadn't seen him in 3 days. He's missing. And Jesus asked the question, "Why are you seeking me?" Now that tells me that Joseph and Mary were supposed to know something already. Because remember, the angel talked to Mary before Jesus was ever conceived. So she knew the type of child that she was carrying in her womb. She knew that she was carrying the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. She knew that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so did Joseph. And they knew the scriptures. And let me say this, and this can happen to mothers and dads, but sometimes you can still be full of the Word of God, but when something like that happens, you still, if you're not careful, if you're not alert, you'll still yield to fear. Even though you know the scriptures. But Jesus said, this is verse 49, "Why did you seek me?" See, that tells me that there's some things that they were supposed to know. Either they knew and just didn't remember. I don't know all the details there. But Jesus asked the question, "Why did you seek me? Why were you upset? Did you not know that I must be about what? My Father's business." Notice what he says here. Now remember, I told you God the Father is the originator. Jesus said, even at the age of 12, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." And he was talking about his heavenly Father, not Joseph. Jesus was committed to the call on his life. God the Father had given him an assignment. And you and I had something to do with that assignment. We was on the Father's mind. You still here? Hallelujah. Jesus was not supposed to leave with his family. If he was, he would have. But the Father had instructed him to remain. And let me just point this out to you. Notice something. It took him 3 days to find him. Wonder if anything significant about that number three. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for loving us so much. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, guys upstairs, verse 49 in the Amplified Bible, put it on the screen for me, please. Verse 49, Amplified Bible. And he said to them, how is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my Father's house and occupied about my Father's business? Oh, glory to God. This 12-year-old boy knew what he's supposed to do. And he did not allow soul ties to stop him. There are folks walking right now, believers, that are compromising and just compromising, all because of soul ties. Well, you know, if I do this, you know, I might lose him, I might lose her, or they might get upset at me, or whatever. No, Jesus was about his Father's business. And if any repenting was to be done, it would be on Joseph and Mary, not on Jesus. Amen. Word of God tells us that Jesus was tempted in every point, every way, like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. You're still with me. Now my point here in verse 49, Jesus is saying, I got to be about my Father's business. I got to be in my Father's house. I'm on a mission here. Hallelujah. Now, while we're in Luke, go ahead and flip over to the 10th chapter. Glory to God. Now, I'll begin reading here at verse 21, Luke 10, 21. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Amen. Now, if Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, who else should be rejoicing in the Spirit? Say what? Yes, us. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's our example. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for them Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Now look at verse 22. All things, you see that? All things have been delivered to me by who? By my Father. And he goes on to say, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. But notice here, Jesus is saying, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, by the originator. Hallelujah. Now, we traveling a little bit. Let's go to the Gospel of John, 5th chapter. I just want to establish some things. Like I said, I'm not going to, I don't think we're finished, but we'll certainly get started. John, the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. Now listen to what Jesus said in the 43rd verse. He said, I have come in my Father's name. You see that? I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. But Jesus says, I'm here because of my Father, and I've come in my Father's name. Now let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Just flip over to the 8th chapter. Jesus was acknowledging that he was sent here by his Father. Hallelujah. 8th chapter. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, the Son of God. He's talking about himself. And that I do nothing of myself. You see that? But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Hallelujah. Now, while we're traveling, let's travel on over to the book of Hebrews. 1st chapter. Hebrews, the very first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us, how? By his Son, whom, look at this now, whom he has appointed, see that? Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Glory to God. The Word of God tells us that everything was created. God's the originator, God the Father is the originator, but he created them through his Son. Glory to God. Created them through his Son. Hallelujah. One familiar verse, all of us know. John 3:16, for God Talking about God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm remembering Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying to his Father. Jesus was asking the Father, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. Because Jesus was giving his all. He was getting ready to take our hell for us. Folks, listen. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Sin has wages. And if you fool around with sin, you're going to get paid. Say that again. If you fool around with sin, you're going to get paid. But it's not going to be the kind of pay that you like. Because the wages of sin is death. That verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. But Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane was about to get paid, not because he had sin in his life, but because of you and me. So he asked his Father, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. You know, it's terrible enough to have to be punished for your own sins. But to be punished for the sins of everyone that's born on this earth, that's what Jesus had to deal with. So he prayed, Father, if there's any other way. Now, for some of us, me included, what would I have done in the Garden of Gethsemane? I might have said, Father, this is too tough. Oh, I can't handle this. Lord, I'm so sorry to disappoint you, but I'm just going to have to let them go. But that's not what Jesus did. Because, listen, remember what he told his parents at the age of 12? I must be about my Father's business. He knew he came to do his Father's will. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, after he had prayed that prayer, talked to his Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He immediately said, nevertheless, not my will. Because I didn't come here to do my will. I was sent here, Father, by you to do your will. And I'm not changing now. I'm not quitting now. I'm not a quitter. Nevertheless, not my will. I will endure the pain. I will endure the agony. Because, Father, I've come to do your will. So nevertheless, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And of course, we know the rest of that story. He went to the cross. He died for us. That was the will of the Father. When the Father looked at his son hanging on that cross, all of our dirty, filthy sin poured on him. For a moment, God turned his back. Jesus cried, my God, why have thou forsaken me? The reason is that Jesus had to pay the price. So he went to hell. He took our hell for us. For a while, he was alone. He was being punished for my sins. Think about that. For my sins, he was being punished. Because he was determined to do the will of God the Father, God the originator. But, glory be to God, he took our hell for us, but he didn't have any sin of his own. Yes, God forsook him for a while, but when the price was paid, I can just imagine the Father saying, that's enough. Get up! Get up! The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. He shed his blood. He paid the price. He endured the agony. And then God the Father said, get up. Turned his back on him for a moment, but he did not forsake him. Just for a moment to pay the price. And because of all that, you and I are free today. And brothers and sisters, we need to act like it. We need to show God that we appreciate what he has done for us. I mean, you know what? You know, if a person is trapped in a burning house or trapped in a burning car and the first responders get there and of course they put their lives and well-being on the line to rescue people and you're trapped and you can't get out of that situation, they pull you out of there and save your life, you're not going to forget that person. Man, you'll probably be sending that person cards every year on the anniversary of your rescue. Every time you see them, I mean, you just, you know, just praising them and letting them know how much you appreciate what they have done for you. And not only that, you tell everybody about it. I tell you what, such and such, they were brave. They rescued me. If it hadn't been for them, I would not be here today, or my family would not be here today. So you continually, for the rest of your life, heaping praise on them because of your gratitude for what they have done for you and all your family. And that is good and fine to do that, to show your appreciation. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God deserves it so much more. Yeah. So much more. And I'm getting ready to close, but let me say this. Give you something to think about. And I'll continue with this later. fire burns the flesh. It kills the body. House fire, car fire, whatever. I'm just using fire as an example. Kills the body. But after it kills the body, there's nothing else it can do. It can't kill your spirit, because your spirit is eternal. So even if you're born again and you burn up in a fire, which would be an awful thing, a terrible thing, but the most the fire can do is destroy your body. Can't destroy your spirit, can't destroy your soul. But think about it. Hell's fire and the lake of fire torments that person's spirit throughout all eternity. Now, we are made and created by God as spiritual beings. Think about this for a moment. We're created as spiritual beings by God, and because we're created as spiritual beings, every one of you in here, every one of you listening to me, you are a spiritual being, whether you're saved or not, whether you're born again or not. You're a spiritual being, and because you're a spiritual being means that you are going to exist throughout all eternity. Your body's going to die at some time or be changed, but your spirit's going to live throughout all eternity. So since your spirit is an eternal thing, even hell fire won't burn it up, but it sure will make it miserable. And later on, when it's cast into the lake of fire, it's going to be agony. But it's going to be forever. Because once God placed the spirit in that body, it becomes eternal. Not the body itself, not the earthly body. Think about these little aborted babies that never had a chance to live their lives here on the earth. And that's sad, so sad. But the other side of that is they couldn't destroy their spirits. When we get to heaven, we're going to meet lots of little babies. Ooh, glory to God. Lots of little babies. You mothers that miscarried your baby, you loved your baby, and you was excited about your baby, but for whatever reason you miscarried your baby, you live for Jesus. You walk with Jesus. If you're not born again, give your life to Jesus. If you are born again, continue to serve him. Because your baby will be waiting on you on the other side. Oh, glory to God. You hear me? I said your baby will be waiting on you on the other side. Amen, Becky? Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. That child is very much alive. Oh, glory to God. Very much alive. If you had a child, a young child that left here as a result of some accident or some type of disease, they're with Jesus. They're with Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I I have to say this because I know how the devil operates. If you have aborted a child and the devil's beating you up over it, just give that to Jesus. Just don't do it again. But you give that to Jesus. He died on the cross so that you could be free of that. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Yeah. Then go ahead and get right with God if you're not already, and go on to heaven to see your baby. Oh, God, folks, God is good. You know, Jesus, I just read it a while ago. Jesus had a time when he just took a moment to bless God. Why don't you do that right now? Just right where you are, just take a moment and just praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. We magnify your name, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace.